Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Gamer Tag radio listeners, join me on my exclusive session on Bright called Podcasting 101, Building Your Community. I know we have a lot of listeners that want to start their own show, start their own podcast. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to market, how to get new listeners, etc. So join my session Tuesday, June 22nd, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you could join and ask questions, learn from me. I've been podcasting now over 16 years, and there's going to be a lot of people there. The last session we had a lot, and we had a great conversation about how to market, to do certain things, certain tricks to get new listeners, how people could discover your show, etc. So this is your opportunity right now, exclusively on Bright. All you have to do is go to this episode under the description here, and I have the link to where you go to the website and reserve your ticket. I only have a certain amount of tickets available. It's up to you now. Want to join and meet other podcasters and other content creators who are going to be also attending this event. So June 22nd, Tuesday, June 22nd at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Spread the word, and I'll see you there exclusively, once again, live on Bright.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1142. This is your host, Danny Pena, and finally joining me for this episode is the man himself. The man himself, Paris Lilly, man. Paris, what's up, man? Welcome back, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad that I can finally talk again.
I know.
I had to go on hiatus for a few weeks, but yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's crazy. People were posting stuff online saying, oh man, that's it, Paris is not coming back, this and this and that. And I'm like, man, I can't say what it is. I'm like, look, Paris is busy, he's coming back. But how you been, man? How's been this whole crazy couple of days since first when it was announced, and then finally seeing the final product once they aired it on like all over streaming services everywhere?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday it finally hit me that what just happened, you know. I'll take it all the way back, just kind of give a complete picture here. So at this point, God, this is like a month ago, Xbox reached out to me about the opportunity to host a secret project. Because let me tell you right now, they had this stuff on just complete lockdown. So even then, I didn't have a full picture of exactly what was happening. I didn't truly know what I was doing until I was actually in Seattle to go do it. I mean, I had kind of an outline of it, but not 100%. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just this crazy thing. I was in Seattle for an entire week. We shot the showcase extended over a 3-day period during that week. I was involved in the script writing process. So when you see me on stage, everything that I'm talking about, that is literally me saying either it was something I was like, yep, I'm good with what you wrote. I'm like, that's not something I would really say. Let's sit down and rewrite it into my own words. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I basically did like rehearsal. Like I had my own green room. Everything was crazy. But, you know, I kind of did rehearsals with a production team in the green room just to see kind of how it would sound, everything. Then we'd actually would go out on stage and shoot it all. That was my first experience, obviously, hosting an event of that size, but even reading things off a teleprompter and understanding how production works, looking at different cameras and when to make the turn, when to do like all that stuff. I really had to kind of learn over that week period. Mm-hmm. But it was a really fun experience to be able to do. And, you know, I just first and foremost, I just appreciate Xbox for giving me the opportunity to do it. You know, like I said, it was my first time. But I learned a lot in a short period of time during that experience. And yeah, I had no idea how it was going to turn out. Like I was very just antsy. Like obviously I had to wait until after the Sunday show for them to make the announcement to even acknowledge it. And then I was just super antsy, just waiting for Thursday to get here so that it would air because I had no idea. And I just watched it with my family. And like I honestly... When I walked out, I hated it. I hated it because
really?
Oh yeah,
that was an amazing part. I think that was one of my.
Let me finish.
Yeah.
The reason is because I'm my absolute worst critic, and I'm watching it for the first time, and all I can see is what I'm not doing right. That's all I can see, and I get anyone else watching it doesn't see that. So yeah, my wife had to literally slap me back in reality. You know. Telling me, no, this is great. I have family, you know, friends like messaging me, just telling me, you know, oh, we're loving this. But the moment that really snapped me out of it was when I did the Design Labs segment with Khalif and watching that because I was dying to know how that was going to look. And it made me laugh just seeing that I nailed that part because just so people know, that wasn't in the script. They knew I was going to do something, but I didn't have it scripted out. That was me real time, just my reaction. So that was all one take, the whole thing. And, you know, I made sure Naveen was on board and he was okay with it. He was totally fine with it. And yeah, I had my E3 moment, I guess, with that. But yeah, overall, now that it's kind of hit me and I've actually gone back, like I couldn't sleep one night and it was like midnight and I literally just watched it by myself. And I did okay. Like it's being as critical as I've been on myself. I feel like I did okay. There's obviously some things that in my head I'm like, oh man, I wish I would have said this. I wish I would have done that. But overall, I think it turned out well. And like I said again, I just thankful to everyone at Xbox for giving me the opportunity. And I've seen a lot of comments online has been overwhelmingly positive. So I'm just thankful to everyone out there. You know, that gave it a watch and just, you know, privately, publicly, people that have reached out to me to let me know what they thought about it. And yeah, it was great. It was really good.
No, it was good. And you saw this. I posted a couple of things. I posted that moment when you came out, it was special to me because, Paris, believe it or not, there's a lot of young people that probably got to see that for the first time. Seeing someone... of color on stage or someone that has been inspired to become a content creator or just have to get a job in the industry. Seeing that for the first time on stage, you'd be surprised how many people are probably inspired because of that, man.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I was like, this is a very important moment, man. I saw that. I was like, oh, I even got goosebumps seeing that. You know what I'm saying? So, and I get it. Everybody's going to be very, very critical about themselves and everything, you know what I'm saying? But I think you did an amazing job. And not only that, I was just looking around just to see the numbers of... I was curious. Just want to see the numbers of how many people actually watched the showcase extended.
I don't want to know. Don't tell me. Paris, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I do not want to know. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. That's all I will say. It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, you tweeted about it. I was like, okay.
Well, my tweet was just I don't want to know what the actual numbers are. That was just a generalization on my part, making an assumption. But that's like literally when I put that tweet that it hit me that, you know, there's probably millions of people around the world that are going to watch that. and what mm-hmm. that means. And for everything that you're saying, I do understand, like, because we're coming off of Juneteenth. I was on a Juneteenth panel. You know, Twitch invited me to be a part of this excellent panel I was on, and I talked about it there. I get it. Me being a black man on that stage, what it means and who potentially it could inspire to want to do something like that too. I understand that responsibility. So again, when I say I'm one of my worst critics, it's because not that I was nervous, but I understood the weight of that moment and what it meant as I was doing it and who was potentially going to see it. And I wanted to make sure that I represented myself in the best way possible. And I do think that's important. Just to spin this back into, because I did see your video, and you know, we've obviously already talked, but I'll just say it on here that, you know, I say many times, you know, going back to 06, you inspired me to be in that moment when I was there. You have always been there for me throughout all these years, whether we're working directly together or just colleagues or whatever, being a mentor to me, obviously being a friend, like we're literally family at this point. I'm not up there without you. And I know you know that, but I'm just saying it for the people that are listening to this. I'm not up there without you. And I'm telling you, in the moment, I was very self-aware of all the people that were responsible for helping me get to that point. And I just wanted to make you proud, you know, my family proud. That was my main goal. Like, I wish my mom was still here, because that is something that I know she would have been proud of. She may not have understood it, but she would have been proud of it. And it's just funny. Like, even my aunt last night hit me up because she watched it. She didn't understand it, but she was proud of it. You know what I mean? Just little stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, it. Look, I don't know what it's going to mean moving forward and all that. We will see. But to just have a chance to do that and to know that I can do it. That was the other thing, because you don't know until you actually do it, right? To know that I can do that, to know that I can have a presence on a stage and deliver a message. I think it goes beyond just, oh, I'm showing off the next video game or whatever. But to be able to inspire and promote other people that look like us to want to go do that, because I think that was extremely important. And again, I applaud Xbox for giving me that opportunity, because I'm not dumb. They clearly know what it also meant too. You know, I've talked a little bit already that during my time up there, I got to sit down with Sarah Bond, and we had a long conversation about a lot of things that are not for public consumption, other than to say she also, the fact that she came out to represent the Xbox brand, that was after Todd Howard, that was the next face you saw. And I thought that was very important, because she's very important in this industry at her level. Being in a level of leadership at Xbox, having a seat at that table, you know, when we talk about Game Pass and all these cool partnerships and everything that they've been doing, a lot of that is her and her team that are driving those things, right? And it's very important that, like Khalif and I were talking about this a few days ago, it's crazy to think that first time we saw her on stage, we're like, ooh, who's that? Like we're tripping out. And now everybody knows who she is. And it's not just a gimmick. It's not just a thing of, oh, let's get a black woman on stage to say we're checking off a box. No. She's way more than that. You know, she's responsible for a lot of the things that we're loving about Xbox right now. And that's important, because she's going to inspire the next generation of people to want to be not just a content creator or, oh, I love video games, to know I want to strive to be in a position of leadership at an executive corporate level. That's what's important about what she did. And me way down the scale is important, just for other people that want to get in content creation, that want to do things like that, because that's the path you started back in 06, back in 2000, when you originally got into this creating GTR and all that. It's all stepping stones to get to that next generation of people to want to do this stuff. And it is very important. And I don't take it lightly. And anyone that could potentially listen to this and scoff at the notion, look at the big picture, man. I'm telling you, we don't have enough representation in gaming. That's just a 100% fact. And if you think that certain people in positions of leadership aren't aware of that, you're dead wrong. Because I can 1000% guarantee you they're self-aware of it too. And I may or may not have had those conversations while I was up there. So just know it was important that I was on that stage. It is important that you see a Sarah Bond on that stage. We need to stop being the exception. That's the point. It needs to stop being a thing of, oh, wow, cool. Oh, they got a brother up there on stage. You don't even need to think about it because that's just how normalized it is, right? We need to get to that point. And like I said, I just hope anything I did, being on that stage helps with that. And not, like I said, that's why I told you I was very self-aware. I want to help that cause, not hurt it. So that was very important to me. And again, I'm nobody special, but the fact that I was able to have that representation there, I just hope it helps. That's all.
I think it did. And I can't wait to see more of that in the future, because we're going to change it up in after this, Paris. But I have to say this, that it was cool to see a company like Xbox actually taking a risk and not doing the normal hosting of getting someone, someone professionally or someone from the inside, from the team, which they've done an amazing job with that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But actually getting someone that has never done this before independently, because look, Paris never done this. He doesn't have no agent. It was strictly like, hey, Paris just tweeted about it on Twitter. Like, hey, you know what? I would like to host something in the future, man. Like, you just tweeted that. And boom, you got this opportunity. And you did an amazing job. I was like, yo, Paris didn't look nervous. It looked like you had fun. And I love the questions that you also were asking to the developers. Especially the one that stood out to me was the multiplayer trailer, breaking it down with the Halo Infinite dev team at 343.
Mm-hmm.
That was really, really cool. And plus you doing the joke about Ka, the Top Gun one, that was hilarious. It felt like you were having a good time, and I felt like I was having a good time watching it, And from someone that have done this in the past, TV and everything, dude, I applaud you. You did a fantastic job, dude. That was really cool to see, man. So, and plus, I gotta give props to Microsoft for taking that risk too, man. You know what I'm saying?
And I appreciate hearing that, and to kind of give you a little insight of the way things work. So like you said, I wasn't nervous, but a lot of that stuff was my first time doing it. So you're anxious to see how it's going to play out or how you're going to do it. And like I said, I was directly involved in writing out the script. So a lot of those questions that you saw, I either approved it or I wrote it myself. Pretty much. Yeah. And then obviously as a production team, we all agree on it. And then we go out there and do it. The 343 one is funny because that's actually the first one I did. So
really?
So here's the funny part about it. Mm-hmm. I actually felt way more comfortable and felt I got better in the other interviews than I was with the Halo one. So watching it. So because, again, I didn't know the order of this stuff. We're just shooting it, all the stuff out of order. So I didn't know how they would lay it out. So if you watch it in order, what you watch the show, I'm actually probably way better in the beginning than I am at the end. Because for me anyways, because I just know. And because the Halo one, we did two different takes on it. And the first take, I was stumbling words. I was kind of screwed up and we'd have to reshoot, which was fine because it happens. But the one they use is actually the second take. And I was a lot more comfortable by then. And then from that point on with the rest of the devs and stuff, I was way more comfortable. So another part of this is I actually feel the best one I did was the Age of Empires one, because I actually had been working with that team over a couple day period. Like, we'd hopped on a Zoom call and kind of reviewed the script, and I'm asking them, hey, what are some of the things you want me to touch on so we can get to it? And that was great. And then the day of the shooting, we had a break, and I'm actually was with Adam and Emma for a while, probably a good 45 minutes. And we just talked, just not even about what the interview, just about other stuff. And like Adam is a huge Destiny player, as an example. And we're just talking about all these different things. So we kind of really got to know each other. So by the time I got up there on the stage, I'm just talking to two people I know. It was that comfortable to me. And, you know, I'm making sure I hit the points that they want to make. Because you'll see I have those cards in my hand. All those were bullet points. They weren't like direct questions. So the trick I would do is when they're talking, I would glance down and go, okay, here's the next thing I want to hit. And then I would ask it in my own words in real time. And that's how I was doing all that stuff. So that's why I'm going towards specific things that the developers want to get out to the audience, but I'm asking it in my way. And you'll see, like when I did the Anacrusis, I think Age of Empires as well, and even Grounded, I audible in there where I may ask a question to get a certain response from them. And I can tell they're not, they answer it like super quick. They don't go in depth. So if you go back and watch it, I'll kind of ask the same thing again, but in a different way to pull out the response that I was looking for. Or, you know, and then it's funny because I had a earpiece. So the director and the producer's talking to me mm-hmm. while we're up there. And there was a couple of times where I audible. And then there, like the Anacrusis one's a good one where you're the last thing I asked Chet. I go, can you actually explain what is the Anacrusis? Because he never explained it. Right. So that was, I was like, I got a bonus question. And then the producer was like, right on, you nailed it. Cause they know that, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. So it was just fun to be in that kind of process. And then, you know, we would do multiple takes of things because like some games, they either weren't 100% sure at the time we shot it of what the release date would be. So I would shoot it two different ways. One where we're saying a release date, one where we weren't. Shredders, as an example, was a game. They didn't know if it would be in the show, in the Sunday show. So I shot it. I did a take where I'm announcing Shredders, and then I do a take where I'm not talking about Shredders, as an example. Right. So when I'm watching Sunday like everyone else and I saw Shredders was in the Sunday show, I go, oh, it made it. OK, I know what take they're going to use. You know, when I come up, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's just fun being a part of that process. But this is also why I was absent for a few weeks because I was announcing things in the extended show, pretty much knew everything that was in E3. I just didn't know the order of it. So I didn't want to be on any prediction shows or anything where I'm literally just going to be staring blank at the screen and someone might try and look, oh, he's hinting at this. I didn't want no headlines, nothing. So I just removed myself from GTR, kind of funny, all that for a few weeks. You know, and that's why I didn't want to be on the E3 pre-show, none of that stuff, because I knew too much and I didn't want to even hint or get, if you notice my tweets, I wasn't talking nothing about no Xbox for a few weeks.
Know.
Because I didn't want anyone taking anything I said as a hint towards anything. But it was fun. It was fun, you know, to be able to do that process. And again, the Xbox, to have that trust in me, I'm not a Microsoft employee. And for me to be an outsider, I could have just been some super excited fan trying to look for clout or something. I don't know, something silly like that, and putting hints out on social media, and could have literally ruined their E3 show. You know, so for them to have that trust in me, to know that I wouldn't do something silly like that, is also something I truly appreciate from them.
Yeah. Well, which interview from there that you recorded that you were surprised the most out of all of them, you think? Surprise of the content, surprise of maybe the answers or just the trailers, because a lot of those trailers, that was your first time actually seeing it there, right? So
honestly, Halo was the one for me. So, you know, I've talked about it many times. I thought June was going to be a reckoning for Halo. So the way this worked was I would see all the trailers ahead of time before I would actually go on camera and talk to everyone. So the Halo one, I'll never forget. I'm literally in the video editing room and I'm watching, because I got to watch the campaign stuff. I got to watch what Joe State and Bonnie Ross talked about. And then obviously the multiplayer, so I could get an overall idea. And I remember in real time watching all that and going, okay, I'm wrong. Halo doesn't need a new mode. Halo needs to just keep doing what they're doing with multiplayer. This is freaking great. So being able to watch that multiple times, that was kind of my biggest surprise. So funny thing, if you go watch that thing, like, that was my idea to do the trailer that way, where I was making the call outs like, okay, because you have to make the assumption. we've all watched it multiple times. So in other words, I got these guys here. Let's analyze what we've all seen numerous times. So that's why I'm like, all right, get to 15 seconds. I want to see what this is. All right, go to 50 seconds. Go to 57. All right, I want you to go to 140. Now go to 208. See, that's how much I memorize all the stuff I had in my head. But, you know, and I'm saying break it down. And you even hear me at one point go, all right, I think this is when it was the full on action stuff. And I turn to the devs and I go, see, that's Halo. That's Halo. That's what we're talking about. Because I literally said the same damn thing when I watched it in the video editing room. One other little inside tidbit. It was funny watching it all because they only edited anything I said one time. And it was actually during the Halo thing. I won't even say what it was, but there was one instance where they did edit something that they basically took something I said out. And watching it back, I understood why. Because it wouldn't have made sense to people in that moment because it wasn't about that moment. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, everything I said, all that was exactly the way I said it. They didn't change anything else other than that. So that was kind of cool too.
Yeah. Explain to me this whole Top Gun thing, like how that came
out. Oh, okay. Like, yeah, that's, yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. Did Paris just started like singing? Like, what the hell was this? Yeah. Yo, I was not ready for that.
So that was a funny one. So me and one of the producers, she's mad cool. I worked with her a lot. She floated the idea to me. She was like, hey, what if for the flight simulator stuff, when we announce the Maverick stuff, we'll when we come out of the trailer, we'll cut to you wearing a bomber jacket and some glasses, and then you could say something funny or whatever, like about Top Gun. So I was like, yep, let's do it. And they actually had an assistant run over to Nordstrom and go buy the glasses and the jacket. And I told him, I go, get a 2XL, don't get XL. I go, I wear XL, but in a jacket with my broad shoulders, it's going to look weird.
Yeah.
The assistant got XL anyway. So I tried it on in the green room and I was like, no, this ain't going to work. So that's why I just stayed in the hoodie for that. But we kept the glasses. And I remember we were getting ready to go on camera and do the whole thing. And she turns to me. She goes, now, are you okay with this? You sure you want to do this? And I looked her dead in the eyes. And I said, this is either going to be hilarious or a complete disaster. Let's do it. Right? So we went up there and did it. And I actually did two takes. And here's why. So that actually is the first take I did where I go, danger zone. Because then they had me say it a different way. Because they were worried about potentially copyright thing with the Kenny Loggins song. So just in case, again, you just do safeguards. So they're like, just in case, let's do two takes. But they wind up using the first take that I did. So that was funny. And again, that was another one I was curious because I had no idea how it was going to come out.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was really cool. Really, really cool. You know, I'm very excited to play Flight Simulator on a console, man.
Yeah.
Like, it looks good. It looks really, really good.
And speaking of, that's another one where I pretty much audibled that entire interview we did. I knew the points that you wanted to get to, but I say it in my own way. I really didn't even really look at the notes because you'll hear me even say, because I had said this to him offline, so then I made sure I said it in the interview. I'm like, dude, what kind of freaking sorcery are you guys doing to get this to run on the Series X? So I thought that came off well because it's true, dude. Playing this on the PC right now with a 3080, it's a struggle bus. So it's like, how are they getting this thing to run even at 4K 30 with all the effects and everything on a Series X? So that's why I kind of wanted him to jump into that too. So that was cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to try out the update where you can land anywhere around the world.
Yeah, that's going to be good. That's going to be really good.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. Yeah, because I never played the game. So usually when you fly, you have to land at the airport, right, Paris? Like, that's how that works? Or it's like a certain spots in the game, that's where you're allowed to land.
Well, you can land at airports. That's why they're changing it. So now you can, like it's saying, you can literally land anywhere versus you're just, because again, you try and land somewhere now that's not an airport with a runway, you're going to crash. So now they're trying to make it more. So again, they want to make it more inclusive to get not just the super hardcore people on flight sim, but they want to make it a casual experience too. So anybody can literally on their console pick up a controller and just be able to just take a tour around the world. That's a great part of Flight Simulator. You can go anywhere in the world in that game, which is insane.
Yeah, no, it's really, really cool. Really, really cool. Yeah, I'm thinking what other parts that stood out to me. By the way, I have to say the design labs, you know, it was trending on Twitter, like the image.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, man, Paris, that was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good one. And I was even surprised that Xbox said, you know what? I think that's good. I think you should go for it.
So story behind that one is, you know, they had reached out a few weeks ahead, you know, I knew this was happening, or like, hey, we're going to have a design lab segment and we need you to create your own controller because we want you to be able to say you have your own during the interview. OK, cool. So I'm creating it and I knew I wanted to do Laker colors. And when I saw you could inscribe something, I was like, you know, because I've already had a running joke with that with my Traeger grill. I call it Ka Can't Cook. So I was like, I'm going to put Ka Can't Cook on it. And the person I was working with at Xbox, when I had to turn everything in, saw that, knows about the joke, and goes, oh my God, you got to try and incorporate that into the segment. So I was like, okay. So when I'm in Seattle, I actually worked a lot with Aaron Greenberg too. And Aaron Greenberg has been in on it. And I had that conversation with him and he freaking loved it. He's like, absolutely, you should do it. And then, you know, like I said, I wanted to make sure, I didn't want to do it and take away from their message. So I made sure everyone, like on the production team, Tina and Ryan and everyone, they were on board with it. They said, yep, love it. Because part of the great thing about all of this was they wanted me to be me, putting myself into the show. They didn't want, because if they just wanted a robot, they could have just done it themselves. That's why they wanted to get someone from the outside to do it. So that's a part of me and my humor. They wanted that to be in there. So again, kudos to them for allowing me to do it. I made sure Naveen was on board. He was fine with it because I didn't want to make him uncomfortable. And like I said, that was just literally a freelance on the spot where I say that. Because I honestly didn't know what I was going to say. I was just like, all right, I'm going to put up a controller. I'm going to acknowledge Ka Can't Cook. And then I was like, let me show him some love. Show some love to Ka, his show. But then let me rip him a new one at the same time about cooking. And obviously it came out well. So that was fun.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, GTR listeners, we're going to continue the conversation with Paris about Xbox Game Showcase Extended. But first, let's talk about our sponsor, Magic Spoon. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. You remember waking up early Saturday morning, right before the cartoon starts back in the days, right? I'll be the first one getting my milk, my cereal, start eating it, and so on. And I even know that Paris, you talked about this too in the past, about it on the show. But guess what? I've been trying to cut down on carbs and sugar, unhealthy food, and realize I basically can't eat that, any of that anymore. And I've been drinking, you know, healthier drinks, but I finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after my walks, and that's Magic Spoon. It has 0 grams of sugar, 13 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, only 140 calories a serving. Keto-free, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low carbs, and GMO-free. Build your own box, GTR listeners. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle. And here's a flavor. Cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, and cinnamon. You definitely got to take advantage of this because I love cocoa. I love peanut butter. Those are the top two. They're my favorites. And I know you will enjoy this. You know, Paris mentioned this to me and I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to try this out. And I tried it out and he was right. It was really, really good, man. And at the same time, it's healthy. So you could also experience this and check it out for yourself. Go to magicspoon.com/GTR to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it out today. Be sure to use our promo code GTR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money, no questions asked. Again, remember, get your next delicious bowl of gluten-free cereal at magicspoon.com/GTR and use the code GTR to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode of Gamer Tag Radio.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
You know what was the best part about that, Paris? Because, you know, unless usually when you and Ka are doing that online, people have to follow you to get it, right? I felt like when you did it for the showcase, it was funny. And even if you don't get the joke, it was funny. Like it was perfect. Like even if from someone from the outside that don't know you or Ka, they'll get it. Like, oh man. And at the same time, it's promoting like you could put whatever you want. Yeah. And whatever design you want for the controller. Like it was a perfect way to promote that product. I think it was really, really cool. Really, really dope. Yeah. Was there, I think I'm trying to think of any other games that they showed during the showcase that stood out to, like those were the top ones for me. But actually, let me ask you, because you watched the show, the actual showcase, what was your opinion about that? Because, you know, for me, I think it was the best press conference ever from Xbox, you know, and I love how they ended with Redfall, a game that's coming out summer 2022. That was a really very, very cool trailer. And also how they start in the beginning saying Starfield is an exclusive, it's coming out next year. Which that's the part I was very surprised, Paris. And I want to ask you about that. Were you surprised that they announced the date this early for that game? I was in shock. I was like, wow.
I think it shows confidence that they know they can hit it. Here again, I have no inside knowledge on anything. This is just me 100% speculating. I would imagine Starfield is probably a lot further along than we ever realized. This is why a lot of people thought it was coming in 2020 in the first place. We know COVID and all that plays a factor. But maybe Starfield, maybe it's very similar to Halo Infinite, where Halo Infinite could have launched last year. It just would have still needed some work done to it, some polish and some QA, which is why they smartly delayed an entire year. And look at the result that we saw even here right now in June. With Halo Infinite, I think it's something similar with Starfield, where the game itself is probably done in that sense that you could probably pick up a controller and play it from start to finish. But now they're going to get, at this point, 17 months to polish it and QA it and make sure that it is everything they want it to be. And that should get people excited when games get that extra amount of time to really be everything you want it to be at launch. We've obviously, you know, Cyberpunk has unfortunately become the poster child for all of this, where, you know, that game probably still shouldn't be out. And I'm sure the entire industry has looked at that and they don't want to repeat that again. They don't want to have a Cyberpunk incident. And, you know, Microsoft is able to give Bethesda the time they need to get that game done right. So you can say November, you know, 11, 2022, because if you had to, you could probably launch it, you know, in November 2021. But they don't have to. So it allows that team more time to really polish it and get it where they want it to be. That's just my theory anyways.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Another game that stood out to me too, Replaced. Oh man, I definitely want to try that out. And I also got to see the reaction from everybody else about that game. Like it's cool to see that game is getting a lot of love from a, you know, independent studio. And I bet the developers are probably super happy with the feedback from everybody after watching that trailer.
Yeah.
And I think you posted a tweet about it too, right? About Replaced.
Oh yeah. I was just going to jump into my overall thoughts of the show, but yeah, it's sticking on Replaced for a second. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To me, that was the game. That's one I had no clue about. So I watched it Sunday just like everybody else. And it really grabbed me. That was one that I'm highly intrigued, you know, to be able to get my hands on next year. And this is the beauty of indie studios at these AA studios. And then you get Microsoft to basically be a partner with them and, you know, expose a game like that to the world. So it's pretty exciting to see, which leads me into my overall thoughts of the show. Mm-hmm. Ryan McCaffrey had actually asked me this on IGN and we had talked ahead of time. So I had thought about it for a couple of days. And so then when I talked about it on the show, I said, I won't call it. You could say it's their best show. That obviously is up to interpretation, but the best way that I would place it in their 20-year history, this is the most mature that Xbox has been, where you could see the confidence that they have in their hardware, their services, the infrastructure, everything that they put into place. They laid out a roadmap that for the next 18 months, you know what you're going to get. They got some quality games coming. You know, the 27 out of the 30 games they showed are going to be in Game Pass is impressive, which again shows more value to that service. And then it also made me think about, they talked about all that. Think about what they didn't talk about that we know is coming here in the next, you know, 24 to 36 months from Xbox. It's impressive. It's very impressive. And again, if you're a fan of games, you know, you can keep the console war nonsense to yourself. But if you're a fan of games, be excited about what Xbox is doing. Same as you should be excited about what PlayStation is doing and Nintendo as examples. But the point is, Xbox to me, finally, as they roll into their 20-year anniversary, they feel like they've grown up. They feel like, you know, they are announcing to the world, we're here for the long haul. They have full buy-in from Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft. They're not going anywhere. So be excited about all the things they're doing. Obviously, look at partnerships like they did with Disney, like with the Sea of Thieves, with Captain Jack Sparrow and Pirates of the Caribbean coming. Just all these things that they're starting to do to just make gaming fun. Like, I watched that, and the takeaway I took from it is there's something there for everyone. And that's the point of gaming. Not everyone has to like Halo, but maybe they'll like Replace. Maybe they'll like Sea of Thieves. Maybe they'll like Stalker 2, which that's another one that I love. You know what I'm saying? There was something there for everybody. I'm going to sit here and tell you right now, Psychonauts 2, Jeff Keighley will be talking about that game at the end of the year.
I think so too.
Which, again, is an example of Tim Schafer has been a genius in this industry for decades. We all know that. Double Fine, like he's even talked about this in some of the Double Fine videos that he's put out. When they're acquired by Microsoft, that freed him up to just make amazing games. He was able to realize the full vision of Psychonauts 2 because he had the time and the resources and the financial backing to do it. So think about that now he gets to realize his vision. And that's how you overall have to look at a lot of the stuff with these Microsoft game studios and these acquisitions. It's going to allow these creative minds to just focus on the creative and not worry about all the back end financial stuff. Hey, look, that's Sarah Bond's job. All those people, they worry about that. These guys get to just make games now. And the end result is we win because we get great games to play and experiences and get to talk about them, enjoy them together and all that. And that's all that should matter, man. So I thought they knocked it out of the park. Obviously, I'm biased because I was a part of that process. I got to see a lot of it happening in real time, you know, behind the scenes. And, you know, I got to meet a lot of people at Xbox during the week. I know there's photos out there and, you know, you see me with certain people. It's not something that is for public consumption about the things that we talked about. But the point is they're in a good place. They are. And like I said, as gamers, just be excited about that stuff.
Yeah, I know we're going to wrap it up here in a couple minutes. But one thing I have to say about Psychonauts and Double Fine, one of the developers posted this on Twitter. There was no crunch for that game.
Saw that too.
Zero crunch. That's really, really cool. Now that's two games that I've seen that looks good. Most likely going to be successful. And there was no crunch. That was Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, and now this one, Psychonauts 2. So we need to see more of that in the industry, man. Really, really do. And I would like to hear that from the developers. Like, yeah, we had no crunch. That's really cool to see, man. It is possible to make a great game instead of putting so many freaking hours to work on it. You know what I'm saying? At the studio. So yeah, definitely, man. Anything else, Paris? Anything else before we wrap it up? Can I know... And then you have to do a couple things here, man, but after this. But you want to say anything else before we wrap it up here?
I would just simply say just thank you to everyone out there just for all your support and your kind words here over the last few days, just being a part of that process of hosting that event. Like I said, it was such a cool opportunity to be able to do it. And yeah, man, I mean, it definitely gave me moments I'll never forget. That's for sure. So yeah, cool. So yeah, again, just thank you to everyone. Obviously, like I tell you all the time, thank you to you for even putting me in this position to have these kind of opportunities. You know, like I said, we're family. Like I said, I know You know, people were making whatever assumptions they wanted to make over the past few weeks. But yeah, I wasn't on for a very good reason. And I think people can now understand why. And yeah, we'll just keep going from here.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. And I can't wait to see what's next. You know what I'm saying? Because I think it was a game changer for you. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be really, really cool. Can't wait. Can't wait. All right, one, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. And, you know, review, subscribe, follow us. It will help us out a lot. Also, if you would like to be part of our family discussion or segment, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, just want to say thanks to Paris, everybody who's listening, and we'll be back next time, hopefully later this week, with more episodes of GTR. Thanks a lot, everyone. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.